Roundtable. A very warm welcome to Radio Murray Roundtable with me, Yash Kirang, and today we are asking the question, how is the national budget for the fiscal year 2022-2023 useful to the citizens? Annually, the Republic of South Sudan, through the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning, prepares and tables the national budget before the end of every June. The national legislature reviews and passes the annual budget, authorizing government expenditures. The process, however, was late, and the national budget is passed by the national legislature 3 months into the new fiscal year period. According to the national budget for the fiscal year 2022-2023, the proposed expenditure stands at SSP 1.39 trillion, while the resource envelope for the fiscal year 2022-2023 stands at SSP 716 billion SSP from the gross oil revenues and SSP 117 billion from the non-oil revenues. Meanwhile, the deficit is at 560 billion. The budget process in South Sudan for the last few years has been government-driven process with less or no citizen participation. And in the studio, to answer the question, how useful or how is national budget for the fiscal year 2022-2023 useful to the citizen, we have Honorable Shankwat Bishok, Chairman of a Specialized Committee for Finance and Economic Planning. Welcome to the studio, Honorable Bishok.
Thank you.
We are also having Honorable James Magok, Acting Chairperson of a Specialized Committee for Finance and Economic Planning at the Council of State. Welcome, Honorable James.
Thank you.
We shall be joined shortly by Honorable Deng Tiel Kur, who is the Chairperson of a Specialized Committee of Legislation and Justice at the Legislature. And also we shall be joined by Lona Merkeji, Executive Director for CEDEMOC. Let me begin with you, Honorable Shankwat. Honorable Shankwat, the budget is the national, is the process that is based on the government priorities, and the government sets its priorities. Can you explain to our listeners and us in the studio here, how does the government arrive to the priorities that the government is spending, is expected to be spending on in the next coming months? Honorable Shankwat?
Yes, good morning, Radio Miraya, and thank you for having time with us. As you said, actually, the budget has just been passed. We're supposed to be passed before end of June, so that by 1st of July it should start working, but because of some delay we just passed it last week. Actually, the government always has its own priorities, and maybe most of you have know about the revitalized national development strategy.
Yes.
So that national development strategy, this is where now the government prioritizes depending on the need of different sector. You have the economy sector, you have accountability, you have the infrastructure, you have all those 10 different sectors. So all these 10 different sectors, they have their own priorities depending on the task that they are doing. So all this through the last few years, all this thing has been put together, and this revitalized national development strategy was brought, and it was just also passed by the same parliament a few months ago. It was endorsed that these are some of the things that the country need, especially for this time. So depending on those sectors, there are a number of identified priorities depending on each sector. And those are how the budget has also been aligned to it, so that these things have to be implemented this year, depending on the priorities per the national development strategy, which everyone was involved, including our citizen, and everybody was part of this. So this is how the budget is really aligned.
According to you, you said the budget is based on the activities that are identified on the national revitalized national strategy. On which all every citizen is involved, as you said. What are these 10 key priorities that you have mentioned that the government is spending on?
Yeah, well, to go specific, the first things the country need now is the to make sure that the peace is realized in the country. This is one of the top priority where all the different sectors are also part of it, that the peace should be realized, because we have other external issues also, the issue of COVID-19, the issue of the other flooding and the rest. So those are some of the things that govern everything, apart from when you go sector to sector, because sector to sector they have different priorities, the accountability, how we can really do our things in a way where things should be transparent and accountable. And then when you go to economy, is that how we can realize the economy, how our economy can improve and the rest. When you go to infrastructure, is how now we can have our road and the rest and all this. So it's really it's too big to talk about it, but the theme of this budget is now to realize the peace, so that at least we move on.
Thank you very much, Honorable James Magog. How does government arrive to the priorities on which it is spending in the just recently passed budget?
Thank you, and thanks to the listeners. In fact, part of it has been explained by Honorable Shenkos. In fact, government prioritize, and in our country, as you know, everything is a priority. But the government have to make the priorities of the priorities.
Yeah.
Being peace, actually, is one of the priorities on the top list. And then you come to number two is the roads infrastructure is also one of the priorities, because if you want to have development, then there are those actually that shows that the country is developing. So roads is one of them. And because of limited resources, we should have actually mentioned all what is in the government plan. Apart from roads, we can mention education, health, water, and electricity. But because of resources, the government now prioritizes peace to be on the top list, followed by the roads, and then the rest actually will come based on availability of the resources.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magog. You have, first of all, I would like to apologize to our listeners. You may be having a lot of noise and the quality of sound that is not that may not be pleasing to you. Bear with us. We have technical issue in the studio, and our technician are trying to resolve it so that you have a good quality of our sounds. Honorable Magog, you have mentioned roads. And some years back, there was an allocation, an international. There was an MOU that was signed by between the government and a certain company, Shandong in China, to help build road and oil allocation. I mean, some barrels were allocated to this project. And this project, as we talk now, it is moving sluggishly. So, and this is a priority according to you in this budget. How different is this budget going to address the issue abroad?
There is money actually. The oil for road is there, and it is going to be there all the time. And as I mentioned before, it is not one road that the government is targeting. We have so many roads. Say, for example, the road from Juba, Bor, up to Malakal, connecting South Sudan with Sudan. We have Bahr el Ghazal Road, that is also from Juba, Tarakeka, Yerul, Rumbek, up to Awil, up to the border. We also have this road from Juba to Western Equatoria. And all these roads, actually, the government put them as a priority. And even the road from Juba to Ye, Kejukoji. So if you see the oil for roads, actually, is covering all this, and that's why you see there's a little progress here and there, because that oil is not enough. Number two, given the COVID-19 and the floods, some of the oil, the production actually, the production is actually reducing. Thank God that there are some problems. I should not thank God actually, but I said some other problems actually make the production low, and then the price is now has gone up.
So, in the international market,
because of crisis. You know, the Ukraine Russian crisis. So this is actually is helping, but it's also part of the crisis that is facing the world.
Thank you very much. They say always religious say you thank God even if something is not working in our favor. Honorable Shenkwot, I went through the budget. I did thorough analysis, and I could see that some key peace institutions are underfunded compared to other institutions. Honorable Magog said, and you yourself have just said, that the priority, a key priority, is peace implementation. And peace implementation, of course, deserve to be funded. And when you look at DDR Commission, when you look at the Peace Commission, and when you look at the Peace Building Ministry, all are underfunded compared to the security sector. Take, for example, the security general sector. Ministries under security. What justification do you have to give for this big discrepancy in funding the government institutions, and yet the key institutions are underfunded?
Yeah, thank you once again. Actually, as you have said, I think this year the allocation, especially for most of the sector, was really good. Yeah. Compared to last year and the previous year, if you really go through the,
yes,
document. And as I said earlier, the government focus this time is that first fees is a sheep, and then the rest now continue. There is a lot of focus, especially on the peace, because once we have peace, everything will move forward. Okay? And the allocation you have seen, you can see there are a number of different institutions under each sector.
You're right.
Where you will have maybe more than 10 ministries under one sector, but now when you come to the peace and the rest, you will see that there are only a few institutions under one sector. And the allocation, if you look at the allocation individually, you will see that the allocation that was done there is not so bad. Not only this, there's also another additional money cap of peace. If you can go through, you will see there is money for peace. Okay, peace budget is put separately, so that some of the activities that are needed, they will also be covered, including there is also, there will also be additional funding that will also be added, and it will be added very soon, because now we have our unified forces that was just graduated, and the rest are still going to be graduated. So all those things will be put together, and they will be summed up. And according to this, so far, I think the allocation is not so bad.
Yes, the allocation compared to the previous year is not so bad, yeah, exactly as you said. But when you look at DDR, DDR receives less than 300 million, and DDR under DDR Commission, there is a lot that need to be done, especially with the reforms with the security sector. It all is involved for very much DDR process. So you have said that there is a specific money that is kept for peace implementation. Is it under this budget or in a supplementary budget?
No, under this budget.
Under this budget,
yeah.
Okay. Honorable James Magog, the House has just passed that we have agreed this budget, and 3.9 trillion budget with a significant deficit. How is the government planning to close this budget? And when you go through the budget, we have more than 500 million deficit. That means the government has to get this money somewhere else in order to fill the gap and spend and fund the activities. So how is the government, how are you as legislature planning to fill the gap?
There are three ways of financing this deficit. One is the NRA. The government is empowering the NRA, you know, because in the past we have, the revenue generating institutions. Those revenue generating institutions, they were collecting on their own, and the NRA was not involved. So government now have decided all the collections have to be done by NRA. By strengthening and empowering the NRA, then the collection will go up as you compare from the last years and this year. The non-oil revenue collection has actually improved and is going to improve a lot. Number two, the financial bill, the revenue actually, there were institutions that have not actually reviewed the collection, the taxes, you know. Some remain from 2013, 2014, they remain, and then meanwhile, the collection or the tax have increased, so we have adjusted the financial bill, and in the financial bill we are going to have a lot of money. Number three is that we can also finance the deficit through loans and borrowing, and all this according to directives from the parliament is that all the loans and borrowings should first come to the parliament. So these are the three ways that the government will be able to finance the deficit.
Okay, all these three ways have some effect on citizen in the country. Take for example, you said one way of resourcing the budget and fill the deficit is through tax collection. And we have seen in the few months taxes have increased, and that increased the prices of the commodities in the market. And you know, the citizens have not been citizen income is not does not meet the what is expected of them, taxation that is expected of them. So how in your trial to fill the gap, there is collateral effect to this. So how are you addressing this thing?
To address that thing, you said that these three are not actually solving the problem. To empower the NRA is a solution to the problem.
How is it a solution?
It is a solution because if NRA is the only agency that is collecting on behalf of the government, then the non-oil collection will improve. Okay, so it's a solution. Here we are not talking of raising the taxation.
Yes,
but we said it has to be improved because sometimes you get some agencies where actually taxation was in some cases you get 200. For an item, for example, or £50 for an item. And you can see now, we have this, that there is inflation in the country. So all these have been adjusted to the minimum, not, the maximum. So that's why we are saying it's also going to improve the is also to finance the deficit.
If I understand you very well, especially with the last statement that you have just made, is improving the NRA effectiveness in collecting taxation, and that does not mean raising the taxes that affect the citizen in the market. That means you have to fill some gaps, some loopholes in which some taxation that was collected was not coming to the government account. How are you managing this? Do you have a law that regulates NRA, and how is it going to be different with this time?
There is a law governing the NRA, because you cannot form a body without a law that governing that body.
How is it going to be different? Because we have seen some cases of, malpractices in handling the taxation, the taxes, the revenues that are collected, some people are being held accountable. And this time, how are you assuring South Sudanese that the revenues will be protected?
That is through the law. Since there is a law governing the NRA, and then the laws of the country, anybody who is actually diverting taxes, then the law will be dealing with it.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chankwot, the same question to you. How are you planning as a share of the finance and economic planning in the assembly? You direct the ministries and government institutions on how to manage the funds, and there is a deficit. How are you planning to manage the deficit?
Yeah, as was said by my colleague, I think he explained some part, and I just want to take over from there. Actually, when you talk about NRA, you know, before there were different collections. Even before NRA to become one, you know, there were this domestic tax and then the custom and all this. And that's why in our last budget, we directed that the custom goes back to NRA, so that now we have only one body that is dealing with the collection. And our president has directed, and NRA is now, and custom is now back to NRA. So we mean there's only one person who is dealing with the collection, which is the CG of the NRA. And then all these other departments that are under him. We believe that through this, the collection will improve, because, as you know, we were using sometimes our custom colleagues who are collecting, and the NRA, they collect cash directly. So now we are pushing them that exactly things should be put to the account, to the bank account, so that you don't hold the money with your hand. The money should go to account, all the money of the country, of the collection, they go to account, and then now. Then they can first come to finance, and then later on, if there's anything to be given, then it will be given. And if you look at the last few even weeks, there is a big improvement, especially in collecting. That's one thing, because once you have a regulatory body which is already there, then it's improved in how collection is being done. That's one. The other thing is that you know, we have this financial bill that was just revised, because financial bill is the law that governs the collection. Okay, and it's every year, depending on when the situation change, then this thing can also change. So you can see that there are some collection which are for many years, that collecting tax of £100 per something, which maybe it was almost like 10% or 1%, whatever
at that time.
So
yes.
Yeah, and this thing remain until now. So we say no, this is not the case. It has to improve. It has to go together with the current situation that we are having. So most of the incoming generating institution, which are the ministries that are collecting in behalf of the government, so they have updated their list according to what they are really collecting. And we believe that through this, this gap will also be reduced. Okay? That's one. Secondly, we have also things to do with future generation. You know, in oil, there's an amount that you allocate 10% that you put for the future generation, and then also for ORSA. Okay? So these are some of the percentage that you put for the future generation, and then in case if there's anything, like when there's deficit, you can also use.
You can
that
always
money.
Borrow.
Yeah, so we say that this amount for future generation, because the current generation cannot die when you are waiting for the next generation to come, and you cannot keep for the next generation when this current generation is dying. So there is almost 62 billion for future generation which are allocated for, and then also there's 93 billion for ORSA. Okay,
what is ORSA?
Is oil
stabilization account.
Account.
Okay.
Okay. So this amount, if you sum them up, they will go almost 150 something billion, which we reduce now
the deficit.
Okay, the deficit, instead of 560, now it will come to 400. Okay, and then now when this NRA improved their collection, yesterday they had a bill that was presented to the cabinet, especially about their human resource, how their people will be accounted for. Okay, it's being passed. So once this one is passed also, they will have more regulation now to, you know, to guide them properly, so that whoever misused the fund for the country, then it will be dealt with accordingly. So this one will also improve, and we believe that through all these different ways, our collection will really improve.
Honorable Chankwat, there is this practice too, where the collecting agencies are given some percentages of their collections as for a demonstration. And yet these agencies receive government funding from the budget for their salaries and for their operation. So why this practice that a certain percentage after collecting a certain percentage is given back to the collecting agents for their administration? Why is this?
Yeah, this is something that has been agreed upon. And for most income generating institutions, they are given 5% so that they can do their normal work, printing of papers and the other thing that they are doing normal day to day. Because, you know, whatever you are collecting, sometimes you need to have papers, you need to have receipts, you need to have all these things. And then also with, these are some of the things that was meant for. Now the parliament is also reviewing this issue. Instead of 5%, we might reduce it again back to maybe 2% until we now close it, that there will be nothing because they are being allocated for. So this one is under, we are working on it so that at least we see why this thing is still being there, if there are really needs for us to still give them this 5%, or it should really stop and then we just give them their normal allocation per their institution. So this thing is being worked on, and the question you just raised, I think, is being handled.
So for sure, it sets inequalities among government institutions. If take for example, the Minister of Defence does not collect revenue, and they get their operation, normal operation, just like the NRA gets, and then NRA on top of what is allocated to, it has 5% of the collection, just to that is institution specifically. This sets an inequality, and it is out there as a concern. Let me ask you again, Honorable Chankwat, another question. Honorable Magog earlier mentioned a question of loans as one way of filling the gap in the budget. And in your speech, you have mentioned some loans, allocated some figures for refunds of loans and interest, and that is to foreign and local financing institutions. Take for example African Development Bank and so forth. So how did it come about, these loans? Was the previous legislature aware of this? Was it passed by this? And why are South Sudanese paying for this? And how was this money used, yet they have not been informed previously?
Yeah, I think this is a good question. And that's why if you read into our report, we have said it strongly that any borrowing or loan that the country has to borrow, it has to come through the parliament. Okay, so that we discuss now the detail of that loan. Why do we need that loan? And for what? And what are the terms and conditions? For how many years are we going to pay this? The interest and all this. There are a lot of loans that the country has borrowed.
Yeah, do you have a figure? South Sudanese future have to still to pay?
We have a loan of $2 billion USD. This is the total loan that the country has now.
Uh-huh.
Where some of these loans, they are loans that are taken from like World Bank and the rest. Okay, those loans, they have a low interest. You pay them through a long period of time, where you just pay everything, something little every month. Okay, this loan, especially from the World Bank, from International Monetary Fund and African Development Bank. So those loans, they do not have a big impact because these are loans that you just pay slowly, slowly. Yeah, but the other loan that you take, like for example, from Sara Energy, Trinity, and Exim Bank. Mm. So these are other loans that we take from other people that give us a lot of interest rate. But normally the country does not take loan without any reason. You know, our issue when we had the issue in 2012, the English issue, when our oil was not working. So the country has to get loans so that the country continue to operate. Because by then our oil was not working and our 98% of the country resources, we depend on oil. So now when oil was not working because we have issue with Sudan, then it has to resort to borrow loans so that now the government operate. And then the other loan are some of the loan to help the government, especially with the peace and the rest. So there are a number of details of those loans. And we also have it in our statement, which we issued at the time. But the bottom line is that as of now, whatever the loan that the government wants, it has to come to the parliament and it will be debated so that we know exactly why are we taking this loan, for what reason, and what are the term and condition of the loan. Yeah, but the Ferrobious loan are being paid now, slowly, slowly.
Yeah, Honorable Magog, according to the report of the third readings that was presented by Honorable Chankwa's colleague, your colleague in the studio here, some ministries of government institutions spend... namely, the, for example, economics institutions, in the previous budget, overspend by 26%. A rule of law institution infrastructure, they spend overspend also, let's say, by 21%. And other government agencies are under spend. So how did this happen, and how does the parliament plan to prevent overspending and reinforce budget discipline this time round?
Yeah, thank you. We realize all this what you have mentioned, and we summoned those institutions, and they were questioned, how come you overspend your budget? And they gave explanation as to why that thing happened. And from there, the national legislature has actually given directives that the Minister of Finance have to table a quarterly report, you know, immediately. When the budget is being executed, then the minister should table a quarterly report to the parliament so that we know what are the problems for those institutions who have overspent or may have some problems that should allow them to be given some more funds. So this is how the parliament is going to handle that issue, because without quarterly report, the parliament may not be able to know what is going on, but through the quarterly report we'll be able to know what are the problems that are facing these institutions, so that a supplementary budget is actually brought to the parliament and then discussed and passed, so that we know the issues of overspending are genuine.
South Sudan is there, let's say, in Kapoita, would wonder how would economic institutions, let's say finance and NRA and so forth, would overspend by 26%, and yet in institutions that handle their lives, for example, the security and humanitarian affairs, would be understandable to overspend. So what reasons, convincing reasons, would you give to a South Sudanese, they take, for example, there in Kwajogu, would want to know why overspending? The economic institution overspend, and yet security and humanitarian institutions underspend, plus peace institution underspend. What reasons? Were you convinced?
Yes, we were convinced there were reasons, because if you go to security, for example, security have a lot of issues, because it's still the peace implementation have a lot of issues that need security actually to be given funds for mobility, given funds for other issues, you know, for the security to curb the security in the country. These other institutions also, they have reasons, and that's why I said earlier that they were summoned and they were asked why, how come you overspend the budget, and they gave an explanation that is satisfactory to the parliament, and that's why the parliament decided that any expenditure, you know, made during the budget execution should the report should come to the parliament, you know, a quarterly report should come to the parliament, so that we are able to know exactly what are the reasons.
Honorable Chankwat, in the same question, I would want you to add on what Honorable Magog just said. Institution that overspend, among them is economic institutions and law enforcement institutions. By that is spent 26 by 20 to 21 respectively, and yet security institutions and humanitarian institutions lag behind spending, or is not mentioned to have overspend. So why, according to your analysis and your interaction with the call ministers concerned, so what reasons did they give?
Thank you again. I think some of the reasons were already given.
Yes.
If you look at the economy sector, this is where now the manifold piece was, especially for NPTC and the rest. Mm. So that's why you see the graph went up, because they were, including now even, the manifold piece now, they are under the Minister of Finance, okay? And when they are spent now, you will see the graph go up. Mm-hmm. Because it's not only other issues to do with finances, whatever, but the manifold piece that are keep there. So that whoever is dealing with peace, they will go and claim the money, including now the security sector, other institutions like the peace. Now when they have activities to do with dissemination, whatever, they will go and take that money. So that money is kept under economy. That's why you see the economy is up. Okay. When you also look at security sector, is almost the number three. Okay, yeah. Because of the activities that was just mentioned. You know, you need food for the soldier, you need mobility and the rest. So that at least these things are done. You can also look into public administration. Okay, it's also at the same line, and infrastructure, where now people can reach here and there. Okay, so we got enough reason. Well, we think that, okay, that was right, but we directed the Minister of Finance and the other institution that as of now, we need a quarterly report of whatever they spend, so that at least we can now know who goes beyond from what you should spend, especially quarterly. So we have given that directive, so that now this is how to monitor and to make sure that institutions are given their money so that they do their activities, because if they are not given, then they cannot do anything. So we want to make sure that the thing are given, and then now report is being brought to us, so that at least we now see and where we can really jump in and say, no, this thing needs to be done correctly, and this one also it needs some improvement.
So in actual sense, it was not the economic institution that overspent, but some money was kept in their custody, and that was to be used by security and peace institution. Thank you very much for that clarification, Honorable Chankwat. But still with you, Honorable Chankwat, before I go to Honorable Magog, if you analyze your presentation and the whole budget critically, the proposed expenditure would find that much of the budget is spent nationally, is spent in Juba, mostly in Juba, and yet while the states and subnational receive less. So what I'm trying to say is that much of allocations in the budget is allocated to the institutions that are based in Juba, and yet subnational in the states and administrative areas where bigger population of South Sudanese reside receive less allocation. Why is this is still happening under your leadership, Honorable Chankwat?
This is really a good question, and you know, budget has a number of ways, you know, to deal with the budget. There is so-called bottom-up, where you start from the counties, they prepare their budget, they come to the state, and then now they come to the national government. And sometimes you can start from the national government saying, this is the whole amount we have for this year, so now it will give you a ceiling, where please, state, don't exceed this, or these ministries don't exceed this. You may have heard that a few weeks ago, we have called the governors, and we had a meeting with them.
Yeah.
And we asked them about their issues, their complaint, their problem, and how things are being handled in the state. And we have identified a number of issues, including the tax that are being collected in the state that are not being reported to the national government as it's supposed to be. But the allocation that was done this time around, I think it was really very fair compared to last year, okay? Because they give us a figure that if we are given this allocation, then we can operate well. And that amount is given to the state per the request that they were given.
If my memory does not fail me, you have a document before you. The allocations to the state is stand at 41 million, around 41
billion.
Billion, yeah.
Yeah.
Billion. And for sure, 41 billion to the states. Look at what is your total budget minus deficit. It's around 700 and something million. That is a lot of money that is being spent nationally, and in the states we have issues of flood, we have humanitarian situation that needs money. So what justification, how would you convince somebody in a Will East who is all hours is submerged in water and needs food and non-food material but cannot get supply from this because the location allocation today is to his or her county, it does not meet for the affected people. So what reasons would you give to South Sudanese who would be having such question?
Yeah, well, the national institution that are here, they don't operate alone. They operate together with the same institution that are in the state. For example, in the state, you have State Commission of Humanitarian, mm-hmm. while you have here the Minister of Humanitarian. Mm-hmm. So this Minister of Humanitarian, whatever is being allocated, always they cooperate with the state. Wherever there's issue, like for example last year, or even this year, last year when we had a flood.
Mm.
So a national government has to give $10 billion equivalent to assist those areas that got flooding.
Mm.
So it means that whatever is in the national government is also for the states. But there are separate allocation, like the salaries and the other allocation that goes to the state. They are being put separately and these are being handled by the state because they also handle their taxes also. Mm. That you don't see them appearing here.
Yeah.
There are a number of issues, including
the PIG.
Including those state with the oil producing state.
Yeah, 2%.
They also have their 2%, which you don't see under this 41.
Right.
So there are a number of issues, and that's why this time around we need the budget to start from the ground, where the state now will come with the budget that this is what we need, and we'll ask them that, okay, how much are you collecting? Because they are also collecting revenues.
You're right.
Okay. Well, how much are you collecting? Because now the revenue that they are collecting is not part of this now, as you can see.
Right.
Where it should not be the case.
Mm.
And we need it to be the case so that whatever they collect there as taxes, as revenues and all this, it has also to reflect so that the citizen in the state knows exactly our state has been collecting this amount and so, where that amount going to.
Mm.
Okay. So to us, the allocation that you have seen here, compare. Okay, it really, this is the same amount that the governor was asking for, that we need, if we can be given this amount a month per year as in the annual budget, that can really cover our needs in the state. But not only that, because there are all the institutions in the national government that deal with them directly.
Mm.
Like you have all the institutions, the Minister of Education, whatever, there are grants that is being sent from here, for example.
Mm.
Okay?
This is not inclusive. It is not inclusive. The grants is, for example, to schools, to health facilities, from the national institutions is not part of this 41 billion, is it?
Those grants they are separately.
All right.
Yeah. We have the grant now.
Honorable Magok, you would want to add?
Yeah, thank you. I actually will add a little because, as mentioned by my colleague, the allocation given to states this year is much better than the previous years.
Okay.
Because what was given is actually three times what they were getting. But still, we have a plan to go to the states after this budget. You know, when this budget is passed, and now we'll prepare to go to the states. Because we know in the states, you know, there's collection. They collect PIT, and also in some states, actually, the NRA collecting the taxes, like custom, You know, if you talk of Numili, Kaya, Northern Bahr el Ghazal, and also Northern
Upper Nile,
and all this, all this collection is taking place. So what we want, actually, we want to go to all the states, look, for example, what do they collect locally? And does that collection, you know, is add to their budget? If it is not, then that question will the parliament or the committee will ask the question, why is it not reflected in the budget? Because we want to establish one thing, actually. In our country, you give responsibility minus accountability.
Right.
Now we want to establish, you know, basis of accountability, because if you are assigned, you know, or you are holding a public office, you must be accountable, you know, for whatever you do there. But sometimes you are responsible, but you are not accountable. So we want to establish those bases this time, so that we go to the state, we know what they have, and then when we come and give them some allocations from here, we give them based on what the activities the state is actually is carrying out, and what do they have in their local collection.
Honorable Magog, if I remember, you have been in the Council of State, I think, since 2011. Since 2011. States have been, Council of State is directly responsible for the states.
Correct.
Have state been presenting their budgets to the Council of States?
No, because it is only this year when we request all the states to present their budget. They give us the 2021 or the previous budget plus this year budget. Some of the states have not even, you know, submit the budget. So, and that's why I'm saying we are going to go to all the states, you know, to find out all this, so that we ability.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magog. We shall pick up from there. Let's go for break. 3 minutes break now. Welcome to the second session of our discussion on Roundtable with me, Yaj Karang, and we are asking a question: how is the national budget for fiscal year 2022 to 2023 useful this time around to the citizen in the country? And in this studio, we have Honorable Chankwot Bishok, Honorable Chankwot, the chairperson of the Specialized Committee of Finance and Economic Planning, RTNL, and then we have Honorable James Magog, acting chairperson of the Specialized Committee of Finance and Economic Planning, Council of States. Honorable Magog, before we broke for a break, we were discussing the issue of states budgets, and you have said that you mentioned a principle before, a principle of governance, that when you give a responsibility, you give responsibility minus accountability. And the states have been spending, have been preparing their budget independently without checks and balance. That is accountability. And for sure, a lot of issues that happen, and we have seen in a number of states where the question of revenues collection brought in a conflict between executive and legislature in the state. So you said this year you have planned to make things work differently. So can you pick up from there? How differently are you going to hold states' finance institutions accountable to the country? And how do you plan to unify the revenue collection nationally?
Yeah, thank you. As I mentioned before, all these years we have not been receiving the budget of the states, because we know at the state level they have their legislative bodies, state legislative assemblies, and we are expecting that these bodies prepare the budget at the state level. But according to some information that I've read, is that some of the states are not even, they are not even allowed to prepare the budget. The legislative assemblies or the executive do not do it, you know, procedurally to prepare, to table the budget before the cabinet and then goes to the state assemblies to discuss. So since we have seen that gap, that's why we came in this year asking all the states, you know, to submit their budget so that we know that the states are preparing the budget annually. So that is one step, and this is actually the areas of coordination, areas of accountability. Because if the state is not doing its own budget, then there will be a question, why are you not doing your budget and how do you spend this money without budget? So that is one area. I also mentioned before that we will go down to the states, see the areas of collection, you know, from revenue collection that is being collected by NRA, and also the PIT and every collection actually. We said in the budget, those NGOs or companies registered at the state level, the state will collect the PIT. And those companies or NGOs registered at the national level, that will be responsibility of the national. But all this collection will come to government treasury. And even the collection, we said, there should be no any institution that collect money, you know, and then they take the percentage before it come to government account. So all the collections, they have to be collected. Even if they have percentage for their operation, this money must come to the government account, the Minister of Finance, and from there, the percentage will be calculated and then sent back to that particular institution.
Thank you very, very much, Honorable Magog. This is where we would like to center our discussion for the next 3 minutes on this, and especially with you, Honorable Magog. We see collecting agencies in the states and even at national level issuing out receipts that are photocopied. Just a photocopy, a paper, just a design, and then with some logo here and there, an amount, and you are forced or you are asked to pay. And this money, how sure are South Sudanese? How would you convince South Sudanese that the money that is collected goes into the into the government's account? Take for example at in Juba International Airport. At the entry, you get a photocopy, a receipt. Anybody can design that thing outside there. And then you, when at the exit, you must pay like £500 based on depending on how much time do you spend parking at the parking space in the airport. So all this, when we see that there could be loopholes, I'm not trying to say that there is, but there could be loopholes. So how is legislation working hard in order to close the gaps where loopholes could happen and ensure South Sudanese who's paying like £500 for just entry and exit, this money goes back goes to the government?
Yes, and that's why I said earlier that we want to empower NRA, because by empowering NRA, and the NRA will be only the body that collect revenues on behalf of the government. And when there are loopholes, then those loopholes, or if there are some malpractices, then it will be one body that is doing those malpractices, and then will be accountable. So here, you cannot actually, any accusation has to be investigated. So what you said, they are happening, but we did not go down to investigate all these accusations and then put them right. And from there, we monitored what we know we have put right.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it is happening, but I'm just giving the doubt that I have as a citizen when I enter and I pay that money. I are given receipt, just a photocopy, just sometimes vaguely printed, and then it gives me questions: is this one genuine or not genuine, and all these things. So you said, well, NRA is going to be accountable for this thing because this is one institution that will be in charge with this. Honorable Shankwath, if I remember, the budget was tabled like a month plus ago, almost 2 months in the assembly, and you in your review, you have been reviewing, and it has been going forth and back to the institution concerned, especially the Minister of Finance. And one central to this is a question of salaries for the armed forces and civil servants. As we know, some armed forces, our soldiers who are responsible for our security, get less than $20 in a month, or even sometimes less than $10 in a month. And you had proposed in your discussion at the committee levels to increase the salaries of the civil servants and armed forces personnel across the country. When you presented the budget at the third state and the final, and it was passed, I did not hear anything about it, and South Sudanese would like to know more about it. So what happened with the hope that you raised to South Sudanese?
Yeah, I think this is really a good question, and I'm happy that you brought it up so that we talked about it. Yes, as you said, our civil servant, organized forces, and the army, they are really getting something which is very little. It's less than $10, actually.
Okay.
It's less than $10, because some are getting £2,000, some are getting £3,000, £4,000 above, which, if you look at it, it cannot really sustain someone. Not only them, even the other constitutional force holders, where you are receiving £15,000. Okay, a minister is receiving 20-something thousand pounds, which is less than $50. Okay,
but you are better now.
Well, not really. Yeah, compared to what we should get if you look at the region. Okay, what ministers are getting, what MPs are getting. We are almost zero. We are really nothing.
But you are better than previous assembly.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Now,
why did it happen? Is it because you are you can make laws for yourself and make laws that are better for you?
Well, that is not the case. That is not the case, actually, because we are all the same.
Okay.
And South Sudanese are all the same, and they deserve the same treatment. But there are some other criteria that has been used. It's not that we make the law. So we cannot make the law for us. We make the law for everybody, including ourselves, and it's for all. So,
Okay.
So
pick up
now to come to this, we know the suffering of our people, that they really deserve. Okay? And if things were really available, we would have done everything if we had to do it. As you know, the executive are the one who knows the numbers of the civil servant, the army, organized force, the army. So they are the body that prepared this. And that's why, if you see in our second reading report, we said we need the salary issue to be addressed, especially the third reading, so that is passed together with the budget.
Yeah.
Okay? But in the cabinet, they have a discussion. Okay, they met and they have a discussion. I think that was on the 9th of September. And this is one of the reasons why we actually delayed.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, we did not delay. We have a time frame where budget is given 45 working days.
Yeah.
45 working days, which we pass it before even reaching their time. We would have done it within 1 or 1 month and a half. But we really took our time waiting for the executive to come up with this. Because
to address the issue of salaries.
Yeah, the Minister of Public Service and Labour, they table the issue of salaries. How much grade 17 or the last grade civil servant could get, and how much a foot soldier or jundi could get, okay, and then how much a general could get. So this issue was tabled to the cabinet. It was tabled to the cabinet, okay, and the cabinet discussed about it, and they talked about it, and they came up with a resolution. And in that resolution, they normally accepted that this thing is here, it has to be done.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mango. We shall pick up from there. Let's go for break. 3 minutes break
the
now.
The economic cluster of the cabinet, okay, which is led by His Excellency James Wanega, that let them, they are directed to go and look into this issue, okay, so that they factor in, including now the recent graduated forces, okay, because their budget should also be added.
You sure?
Okay, because now if you pass the normal the current civil servants, soldiers, and organized forces, then that the just graduated forces, they will not be part of this.
Right.
So they are told to go and look into this, and come up and report back to the cabinet before it's tabled to the parliament. Okay, so I think by then the chair of the cluster was not around, he just came, and I think that's why there is a lot of delay. Otherwise, they would have sat and then now come to us. So for us as a parliamentarian, we are just waiting for the executive to table for us. And if you see in the resolution, they said it, okay, they present the issue to the economic cluster so that they look, they review the unified salary structure and the pay scale for approval prior to the presenting to the assembly for endorsement, so that we come and endorse it and approve it. So we are just now waiting for the executive to finish their work and then present it to us by considering all these issues, including where are we going to get the resources. For us already there are
is a deficit.
The deficit, how can we put it together, this one, because according to the new salary structure that you have also seen.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, I think it's in the report. We mentioned in the report. If you go through our report, you will get it.
Okay.
We said it because the total salaries for the whole civil servant or guard forces and the rest of the whole country, it goes to 921 billion. Okay, which is more than the normal
resource
envelope that we have. Okay, but money can be raised, and that's why we are now pushing NRA. Okay, and that's why even their handbook manual and their policies were stable yesterday. So that now we get a mean where we collect our things in a way that we'll get resources, so that now we come and pay all these things. So as a parliament, we are just waiting for the executive, and His Excellency the Vice President Wanega is already in the country. Okay, I met him even yesterday, and I'm going to meet him tomorrow on Monday, next tomorrow. Okay?
To discuss
to see,
this.
How far have they reached? Okay, because we are concerned as a parliament. Okay, and even some parliamentarians were saying, no, let's just hold on this budget. We cannot pass it until this issue is resolved. But we say, no, it will stop a lot of activities, because now, if this budget is not passed, work cannot go. So we say, let's pass it. And then now, while we are waiting for the cabinet to table for us this, and we are just waiting for the cabinet to come and table us
How will it be tabled? Will it be tabled as supplementary, or will it be tabled as addendum to the current budget that is passed?
Well, normally when the budget is passed, whatever is being passed after, it will be supplementary, including even if now there's a spending agencies that needed more money for some other reason, it will always be supplementary. Okay, so it will be a supplementary budget that will be added, that will include all the issue of the newly graduated forces. They will be factoring, and then now including even the roadmap that we are on it now. Okay, the roadmap, there's money for peace, but also there are other additional activities that also need to be factored in, which we are also waiting for it, so that this is now put together. So we believe that in the soonest time, that's why we say that actually by October it should be tabled to us, so that at least we deliberate on it and we pass it.
Honorable Magog, on the salary.
In fact, on the salary, my colleague have given elaborate explanation. The other thing is that salary structure is a process, and at the same time, it has element of procedure, because the process starts from the executive, and as a procedure also, it has to be discussed by the executive and then table before the parliament. So if that thing have not actually taken place, then it is the parliament now giving pressure to the executive to do it quickly, so that it is added into the budget. So It's not the parliament, actually.
Mm.
And we also know from the executive, they also have some problem because it was passed in the executive and then taken to the economic cluster to go and study it, where they get resources and how they should get those resources and all this. Preparation of the salary structure, as he mentioned, Parliament does not know the grades. Parliament does not know the ranks, and all this comes from the executive. How much should be paid for a general, for example, and then the foot soldier, how much could be paid to grade 2 up to grade 17? All this process are done in the executive, and then from there it comes to the parliament.
Thank you very much. Our listeners, this is time now for you to call and ask our guests in the studio and on 0912-179311. 0912-179311. Honorable Shankwa, in South Sudan there are a number of institutions that are non-governmental. And to take, for example, NGOs that spend a lot of money in the country, and also there are companies, commercial companies, that also spend and do some community outreaches, funding community outreaches activities across the country, and it all goes back to the development in the countries. In other words, are there some NGOs and partners within the country help in developmental and humanitarian activities in the country? Do you have, does the parliament have roughly on what the NGOs and the companies in the country spend on, and how much do they spend on? Do you have rough idea on what goes annually to the development and expenditure in the country?
We have a number of NGOs that really help the government, and in the past they were given, even sometimes they give money to the government to do the activities.
Mm.
But in the last few years, especially last year, they shifted their help, okay, to humanitarian mostly.
Mm.
Okay, before they were even doing the activities directly, they give the government money or they do together with the government and all this. But now they start to shift from doing them directly now mostly to humanitarian.
Mm.
Okay, there's a department in Ministry of Finance which is department for aid.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that department is there, and we are engaging with them so that at least now we get all the details from them. So we do not have the rough figure of how much, but we have requested them so that at least we know exactly which organization are doing this, companies that are really helping, and how much have they have given in term of kind, because whatever you give them in humanitarian, it can be valued in term of money, that how much actually this thing has been done. So we are following up with them, and we do not get the rough detail yet, but we'll get all the detail. The department is there, and we have been engaging them. So we are just waiting for the report so that at least we know exactly what is there.
Thank you very much. It's still on that, in the budget, I didn't see grants and donations. Is not factored in. What does it mean?
Well, I think it's just exactly as I said.
Mm.
There are different kind of revenue that the country is getting. You know, we are getting from the oil, we are getting from non-oil, and then from borrowing, and then from grant. And this, when you say from grant, so this is where now you have this department, the aid department in the finance. So these are the departments that are dealing mostly with the grant, that when we have a donor, or embassies, or whoever that give us.
Mm.
So this one will be counted as part of the resources.
Their absence, the absence of that slot in the national budget, what does it mean? Does it mean that South Sudan is not receiving grants and donations?
Well, I think we have it in the report, especially on the second reading. We talked about it in our second reading. We talk about the
then
grant.
The third and the fourth.
We shift it. We shift it to humanitarian mostly. And those are being termed in terms of value of the money. Yeah, but the exact figure is what we are waiting from the aid department and the Minister of Finance.
Yeah, in the General Assembly that was just concluded in September, the Vice President for Economic Cluster mentioned that the government of South Sudan has given 10 million to humanitarian organizations to support humanitarian activities in the country. Is the government in the current budget, is the government planning to donate to the agencies and organizations for humanitarian aids this time?
Yeah, well, normally it's there. Normally it's there, and you can see we have even contingency for whatever that can happen. You see, and this one can always be allocated to whoever it has to be allocated to. Yeah.
Okay, Honorable Magog, in the States, we have source dominant sources of revenues in the country which we can invest, and there are a lot of undercuts that that prevent from the instrumentalizing this source of revenues. Take for example, we have the total population of cows of livestock in the country is such huge, more than the number of people in the country, and livestock we can export and all these things. So is the country's Council of State and legislature as whole contemplating ways of increasing revenues in this way?
Number one actually is the security, in all the states. And I think all of us, we know the insecurity in all the states actually preventing most of economic activities that should take place in all these states. We know in South Sudan, we have a lot of resources. We have natural resources, and those resources are at the state level. We also have animals, as you mentioned, cows, goats, and all this. But insecurity in some states, you know, is preventing all these activities to take place. Like, it is only now one state that I come from, which is now stable. And, you know, people can embark into other activities, developmental activities and economic activities. Like this year, you know, if you go to lakes, then cultivation has actually improved. That is because of security. But in some other states, these activities are not taking place because of insecurity. And it is important that the country should actually manage the security so that citizens are free to do their economic activities. And on those basis, the government now will go, you know, to tax or do anything that they can do for the benefit of the country.
Honorable Chankwot, if you see, you said before that the priority, all of you in the studio say, mentioned that the priority, key priority, according to the government, is peace, implementation, and infrastructure. But then there are other key areas that that really calls for government attention, and that I'm talking about health and education. When you see your allocations of health and education, is far much below the effect. When you see the amount of health issues in the country, deserve more of this allocation. So what are the reasons why health is trailing in funding, and health is not a key priority, especially health and education?
Actually, if you look at the currently allocated budget, as we are discussing, normally this thing is being prepared by the Minister of Finance, and then now the spending agencies are given a ceiling, okay, depending on what resource that we have. If you look at the education, for example, is given exactly, you know, in our constitution, they say they should be given at least 10%. So if you look at what is given to education, especially higher education, general education, is given enough according to the law what they're supposed to be given. But if you look at the health, it's a bit down. A bit down, and there are a lot of concerns, especially for us. We think that is underfunded, but it need to be looked at. And I think some of these are some of the things that has to be raised, especially with the supplementary budget. Because health is very important. And when you mention peace is number one, then you have education, you have health, you have roads, infrastructure, and all this, and the list goes. You know, all those are priorities to us. So this budget preparation was done accordingly, and we know we have our resources that we are having. So this is resources we are trying to give it, you know, to give it to each spending agency. So things are not really enough.
And that's why if you would see the institutions under economic cluster is more than half of the amount they allocated to the institution under education and health put together. And moreover, these are institutions under economic cluster that would still be overspent. How would you give the explanation?
Well, I think it's not really correct, because if you look at the economy sector, it's 73 billion.
Yes.
But when you look at education it's 112, which plus. Is more.
Yeah, it, is, yeah, 112 okay. plus so 34 put together for education and health, you see, it become 146. And
which means it double now the economy.
Yeah,
sector,
yeah. See, and
which means it's more now.
And economy is such as, and it's an institution that are well off that do not really touch the life of people. And institutions like education and health touch the life of people.
Well, you can look
what is
into
the reason?
You can look into the different ministries under economic sector, where, for example, you have the Minister of Mining. Minister of Mining, for example, now as we speak, we believe that we have a lot of gold, a lot of mineral in our country.
Where is it going? Where is it going? We are not mentioned. You have not mentioned where the revenues are coming from oil. I mean, from non oil, especially with minerals.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm coming to it now, and that's why you can see this allocation. You have, for example, we have one important sector, one important institution, which is mining. We believe that our country is full of minerals, gold, and the rest.
Yeah,
and it seems that we are also walking on the top of the gold. But we don't have that goal. Why? Because the institution itself is not well equipped so that they can do their geological survey, they can have the material, the tools, so that they can dig for us these things. So that's why if you look at it, we have allocated enough resources so that now this institution goes and do their job so that they get us the gold, they get us the mineral, so that at least even this deficit, if you get one big goal like this, then everything is finished.
So
for the rest of our life, we'll be happy,
So we get a mountain of gold.
One kilo or 2 kilo, whatever. That means all this loan will be covered, and then now we'll be happy.
Ever South Sudanese will go with a gold necklace.
If you look at most of this thing, if you go to livestock, to whatever, you know, most of these things, you know, they need to really do their job, Like my colleague was saying before, we have cows now, for example. You say they are more than the people, which I don't believe, but it might be because we have many cows. So these cows now, they are being just sold.
It stand at 30 million,
So if you see them now, you know, they are being sold, And we can get a lot, the country can benefit and can get a lot of revenue on this. Mm. And that's why the committee in the parliament, together with the ministry, they put even in financial bill, how we are going to tax this, a small amount, even if you are taking only £10 per cow that is just being sold at the border, it will really contribute and it will generate most of the, what most of the we can get enough resources. So the allocation you see here, yes, you know, because of whatever we have currently, it cannot really give us anything. It cannot cover whatever we need. But those concerns are in place and they are being looked at. Okay? They are being looked at. And we as a parliament that represent the people, so we know because we represent the people and we are there for them. So we want to make sure that things are done correctly so that at least the life of our people, you know, is improved.
Okay, thank you very much. So the justification for seemingly overfunding economic cluster is for it to be empowered, for them to be empowered in order to generate more revenues.
Well, a correction there. It's not getting more. It's getting 73 while the education and health are getting
136.
Twice than what the economy sector is getting.
146.
So 150 something, one more. So they're getting more. It's more.
It's half.
Economic sector is getting less.
Than what
these two are getting. The two are getting twice than what economic is getting.
Honorable Shankwat, Honorable Magog, what is the status of the Juba International Airport terminals that have been lying for a number of years, and this could be a source of revenues?
The Juba International Airport Terminal actually is parliamentarian or the parliament, we have not actually, we still wait for the report because we have asked what are the problems. The particular ministry responsible for that.
Transport.
But he told us that he will bring a report as to why this thing is not progressing.
Honorable Chankwat, on that.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing, and the parliament is forming a team soon that will go to all these spending agencies that are income-generating institutions, including the airport, okay? Including the airport, because our airport is an international airport, and it has to operate as it should be. An issue to do is, like, when you mention about the receipts and all this, okay? These are some of the things that we need to look at, because people can say things, but in reality, you know, you need to prove and see exactly where does this one come from. Okay, so the parliamentarian team will also go around to find, you know, these things that are being said here and there and whatever all this. They might be true, they might not be true. Yeah, but these are some of the concerns, because we know that the airport, you know, there is this building that was built. It did not finish until now. So what are the reasons? So we do not have the real reason for that. So until we get the report, as was said by my colleague, so this way now we can even update the public and tell them, you know, there is A, B, C, D. But so far we have nothing at hand that we can really say. We are just seeing it that is standing there, yeah, like any one of us, including yourself and the rest, okay?
Sure.
But what is behind, nobody knows about it. So we need, it's only the ministry which is concerned, the Minister of Transport and Civil Aviation, are the one that mainly know exactly what is there.
This question to all of you. You have been in the parliament for I'm not sure whether you were in previous parliament, Honorable Chankwat, but I think you were not. But Honorable Magog has been in this. So as individually, you had your own your observations all along. So what have been your observation on how the government has skewed its expenditures over the years, and what do you think need to be changed now?
Yeah, thank you. There are a lot of things that need to be changed. The execution of expenditure by the government, as you mentioned before, there are some agencies that have overspent and the rest have underspent their budget. Is a problem, which is an observation from the parliament, and that thing is start from the way the budget is being prepared, because it should be bottom-top approach. But it is now the Minister of Finance that gives ceiling, and then the Parliament work within the ceiling actually to allocate the resources based on the priorities. And then later on you find out that there is this overspending of resources. So as I mentioned earlier, I said that the only solution is one, that the Minister of Finance to table a quarterly report before the Parliament. And these are the basis of accountability.
Okay.
Because without accountability, you cannot correct anything.
Honorable Chankwat, what need to be changed from your experience?
Normally, in most of the countries, including the East African that we are part of it, you know, the discussion of the budget is done ahead of time, where now the citizens are being engaged, the Parliament is being involved from the very beginning, from the start, by the Minister of Finance and all the different stakeholders, so that now the country prioritizes, actually. People will sit and say, now, what do we need this year to be done? For example, they can say, let's connect the road from Unity Oil Field, where now we have fuel there, but there's no road to bring it to Juba. That's why we are buying now oil from Kenya.
In fact, it was mentioned that Unity Oil refinery is producing, but there is no road to bring oil to Juba and other towns.
Yeah, so this is what I'm just raising. Then now the country will decide, okay, now why don't we do this road? It's a priority. Even if we leave the other road, we say, okay, let's do this one as priority because of there's more resource that we have. So that now we have fuel, and then we do the connection with other areas, okay? So this thing has not been there, you know, discussing prior to the passing of the budget, because the Parliament is waiting for the budget to be tabled, and then we have a limited time where now we discuss the issue with the spending agencies. Okay, so this thing need to be done correctly this time, and that's why we are in discussing with the Minister of Finance that least the next budget should start on time, and we should involve all the stakeholders, including the county, the state, and the national government institution, that we should discuss. We should have this discussion before the budget. That's one. And then the issue of reporting. You know, every institution should have a quarterly report. Not only this, they should have even their work plan, you know, so that at least this is what will guide them. Most of them they have, okay, but as a parliament, we do not see it. And we request them that they should table for us this their work plans so that we know what this minister is going to do. Okay, because then all this should ally together with the national revised development strategy. Okay, so the quarterly report is very important, so that at least you know and you control. Not only even having the report, okay, you need to know exactly what has been given and how did they use it for. Okay, there could be money for road, for example. Okay, is that road being done? Okay, or how and where did it stand and what is the problem? Okay, the same to other thing. Is schools, then maybe in every county there should be a school, okay, a primary school or junior. Is this has been done and why? Okay, so these are some of the things. So the reporting is very important, and also not only this, we are also pushing for establishment of the authority of public procurement and disposal asset, where this department is the one in charge of most of the contracts, so that they will review, they will advertise the tender, and all this all will come to that one. So that at least, who is the shippers who can do this can also be found, because almost 80% of our revenue goes to expenditure, starting from buying a pen and all the rest in the offices. Okay, where now every spending agency does the way they want. Okay, and a lot of issues. So there are a lot of issues that we as a committee of finance in both houses are working, so that at least now we help, and we also, you know, do our part as the parliament together with the executive, so that at least things improve, and then the budget is executed as it was done.
In the studio, Honorable Chankwat, I cut you short before you finish your point, and I want to interject here by asking a question: whether one of the things that need to be changed, and you are adopting it, is whether a budget process will have to be bottom up approach, where citizens are involved at PAYAM level, or it will be a top bottom approach, where the executive, that's the Minister of Finance, gives ceiling and say, you state so and so, this is what you must spend budget within this, Which way are you recommending?
Well, normally the bottom up is the best option, okay, where the budget should start from the ground and then come to the state and then to the national. But at the end of the day, we have a limited resources, okay, where at the end the Minister of Finance may say, okay, no, this one is good, but what we have is not this one. We have this amount that will be given across all the different departments, but at least maybe with some states, their budget may be met, but some may be not, okay? But we recommend that the budget should be bottom up. It should start with the discussion from the ground, where they come with their priorities. What are the priorities in the counties, for example? What are the priorities in the states? Okay, what are the priorities of the ministries here? Okay, then they will put them, because all the priorities cannot be met at the same time. That's why you have the development strategy that goes for 3, 4, 5 years. And then the country say, from this year to this year, we'll make sure that we accomplish this. And then for the next 5 years, we'll also do ABCD. For the other 5 years, then South Sudan will be like North Korea and all this, you know. So this is a process. But at least we should start from somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And this year, actually, we have started even engaging our citizens, especially with civil society, those of Lona. We had some meeting with them, and we were planning to have a big public hearing. But due to the time, we could not make it, but we met them separately, and we have a discussion with them, and we also take into consideration some of their issues.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lona was supposed to be here with us this morning, but I think she has other issues that that are emergency, and she is attending to them. Let's receive this call if we can. Hello, Radio Maria.
Hello.
Yes, Mofruga Lake, at least you are the first person now to get us. Go ahead with your question.
Emmanuel is boy from Yambio.
From Yambio, yes. Your question briefly.
I want to ask you one question. The tax that are collecting in the state, it is going wire.
Okay, okay. The tax that is being collected at the state, where is it going? I think, let me give Honorable Magok to answer this. He is competent in this area as a Council of State Member of Parliament. Honorable Magok.
Yeah, thank you. According to what we heard from the governors, we had a meeting with all the governors. Some of them sent the representatives, and we asked them, because before there were some complaints from NRA that some governors do not allow NRA to collect taxes. But what I know, taxes being collected from the state are being collected by NRA, and these taxes comes to government account, and that's why I was saying we need to go to the states, because we have not gone there to find out exactly the taxes that are being collected. What type of taxes that are being collected at the state level? So we'll be able to know these taxes, they are collected, what remain in the state, and that that percentage that remain in the state, how is it being used? Is it going to the state budget, or it is being used for something else? So what I know is that what is being collected from there is collected by NRA. It comes to government account.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think Emmanuel got an answer. We are coming to the end of our program, and I would like to give you, each one of you, a minute and have to say something and tell South Sudanese with the issues to do with the budget that we are discussing. Honorable Magok.
What I would like to say is that is what I had said before, because budget is an important law of the country, because it's where resources are located. This where the development projects are executed, and without proper accountability, then all this cannot actually be achieved by the government. So what I would like to say is, all is for all of us South Sudanese, whether you are in the government or you have your own private company, then we must actually stick to the issues of accountability. Because even the money that has been given, and that's why we are now trying to put a law that let all the spending agencies report, you know, their their activities, you know, that are going to be funded. And then when the money is released, they have to account for what was given to them before they are given another money. So that we establish accountability basis that will actually make us to have a sound system. Without accountability, we cannot have a sound system. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Honorable Shankwat.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, my message to our citizen is that, first of all, thank you for listening to all our conversation. You may have, especially for those who tried to call and could not get through, so we would have answered some of your questions, but maybe there's always next time. My message is that I think as a country, for us to move forward and for this country to go and be different and be like any other country that has just grown, the first thing is that we really need peace in our country. Okay, we need to put down everything, you know, we focus. Let's make sure that this peace that was just signed in 2018, we implemented it in letter and spirit, so that at least the other thing that we need in the country can move forward. That's one number one. The other issue is the issue of the budget. As your representative here in the parliament, we are trying all our efforts that the budget that is passed should be used accordingly, and we are pushing that there should be no spending outside the budget. So whatever is there, it has to be done accordingly, it has to be allocated accordingly for this 1 year period, okay, so that there should be no spending outside the budget. And this will help a lot of issues, because whatever is being allocated, if it's implemented, then next year whatever will be put together, it will also be implemented. So this is another thing. The third one is to assure our citizen, especially the issue of new salary structure. This is happening very soon. We are waiting for the executive to table for us. When they discuss it, they will table it for us, and for us it will not take time. As a parliament, we'll do it immediately, so that at least now the new salary structure is implemented. We know the suffering of our people, and as your representative, the parliament, they are there, they feel the same thing, and we are working hard together, hand in hand with the executive, so that this issue is resolved. The NRA is the only way that can help us for now, because we cannot only depend on oil. Like, for example, now the production, it has decreased because some well, there are a lot of water because of flooding, and we are just being held because of this price that has gone up. So once we, if these things are being collected properly, I think it will really help us, and we cannot only depend on the oil. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.